and we really want to learn how to breathe through our nose, and we do not want to breathe through our mouth. People that are mouth breathing obviously get oxygen through their mouth. When oxygen is not filtered, because through the nose, it's filtered, it's humidified, that helps us sleep better. This actually drives up our cortisol. It puts us into a fight or flight pattern while we are sleeping. That means that we're not going into proper sleep cycles, which means that we're not getting restful sleep.
Hi, I'm Amy Kiefer, a nurse, doula, and personal trainer.
And I'm Crystal Howald, a women's health and orthopedic physical therapist.
We're the co-founders of Expecting and Empowered, and we just so happen to be sisters. We built this business because we saw a huge gap between the information that women were given during pregnancy and postpartum and the information that they need. We're committed to helping close the gap so that women are better equipped to navigate these demanding and challenging years.
Yes, we're both moms of three, so we know firsthand how many changes women go through physically, mentally, and emotionally because women aren't getting enough information to make informed decisions about their own health. It leaves mothers picking up the pieces afterwards. We need that to change.
With our professional backgrounds, we're going to pull the curtain back on this season and give you the information you need to thrive.
We're on a mission to change women's health. Let's do this.
If somebody told you that they had one thing that you could do to reduce your stress, increase your energy, and enhance your mental clarity, eliminate toxins, improve your immune system, improve your digestion, you would do it, right? Give me those benefits all freaking day. What if I told you that one thing happened to be something that you're already doing 20,000 times a day without even realizing you're doing it? It's breath. Yes, that's right. Breathing is a secret to all of it. Our body has so much power to restore and help itself. But unfortunately, during pregnancy and postpartum, our breathing pattern gets messed up. During pregnancy and postpartum, our bodies will go through so many changes. We can learn unhealthy breathing habits. What we want to do is to reprogram our bodies. Think about it as a complete reboot of our entire system, like hitting the Control-Alt-Delete button, but on our body, and giving us that nice fresh start. It does take a little bit more time and a focus, but it has massive benefits. If you're like me and understanding the why behind things makes it easier to implement new changes, I think this is going to be really helpful. So again, there are so many physical and mental health benefits to better breathing, starting with oxygen supply. Breathing allows this exchange from oxygen to carbon dioxide in our lungs. Oxygen is an essential for cellular respiration. It also provides energy for various bodily functions and can help reduce blood pressure and has positive changes in our resting heart rate. It's actually one of my big focuses this year, which is stress reduction. Deep, slow breathing activates our parasympathetic nervous system, promoting relaxation, reducing the production of the stress hormone like cortisol. This can also help alleviate feelings of stress and anxiety. Additionally, having better breath enhances our mental clarity. So proper breathing can improve that oxygen flow to the brain, which can also enhance cognitive function, focus, and mental clarity. Another big reason for this is our quality of sleep improves as our breath improves, which also helps with that mental clarity during the day. Detoxification is another big benefit. Breathing is one of the primary ways our body eliminates toxins, such as carbon dioxide and other waste products during exhalation. And who wouldn't love this during the colder seasons, but having better immune function? Oxygen plays a critical role in supporting the immune system's ability to fight off infection and diseases. like I stated before, a huge benefit is an increase in energy. Effective breath ensures adequate supply of oxygen to the body's cells, boosting their energy levels and reducing fatigue. Improved digestion. Deep breathing can also stimulate the vagus nerves, which helps regulate digestion and promotes healthy gut. In addition, if we're really truly breathing correctly, that breath offers like a little massage to those visceral organs in our gut and helps that with that peristaltic movement. There's a TED Talk, which researchers did, that explains this exchange between oxygen and carbon dioxide. So oxygen weighs less, which is what we're breathing in. And as we exhale, we're exhaling carbon dioxide, which is heavier. So when people lose weight or have changes in their body, often a lot of this waste product is exhaled through our breath. And again, listen, while so many factors play into our health, I don't think people realize how much our breath can contribute to our overall wellness. I'm not trying to oversell you on it, but I think it's really powerful stuff. There are many ways to breathe. And with breathing, the thing is that we want options. It's like posture. You know, there's not one right way to stand, but having those options leads to really healthy movement and healthy breath. When we start to lose those options in breathing, this becomes a problem. In pregnancy and postpartum, we lose those options. In the clinic, I have yet to see a pregnant or postpartum patient that has good breathing patterns. So let's talk about why this is and what the effects of pregnancy and postpartum do on our breathing. And this becomes even more important if you are like Amy and I and just like banged out those kids one after another. It gets really hard to get back to a solid baseline in between kiddos. So then working on this can really help. But during pregnancy, there are many physical changes that drastically affect our breathing. As the uterus and baby grows, that diaphragm gets squished and flattened. The diaphragm works best as a dome shape. It lives at the bottom of our rib cage. So as that baby gets bigger and as the diaphragm gets pushed up and flattened, the rib cage angle, so the ribs can actually expand wider or flare out. This can also affect having a healthy core during pregnancy and in that postpartum period because our abdominal muscles attach to the rib cage. So by expanding or flattening out the diaphragm and expanding those ribs, those muscles are on a massive stretch. And muscles are like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. They do not like too much length or stretch, nor do they like too much tightness. And that can go on to create excessive pressure if these breathing issues aren't resolved during pregnancy and in that postpartum period. And you guys, this can last for a long time after having a baby. I've seen people in the clinic that their kid is 10, 12, and they still are stuck in these dysfunctional patterns. Additionally, too, some babies love to find one snug spot, so they don't move around a lot, and they're sitting on one side of the rib cage, one side of the diaphragm, impairing function in that breathing process even more. Again, like I've stated, in postpartum mommies, many times we do not reset back to our baseline or have optimal breathing automatically. It's something that needs time, attention, and focus. Breathing problems can contribute to pressure problems, which are a lot of mom issues after children, such as pelvic organ prolapse, diastasis recti, tightness in the pelvic floor, and incontinence. Research shows that actually 90% of us, that's right, 90, are actually breathing incorrectly. This causes and contributes to a laundry list of diseases. And why are so many of us breathing incorrectly? Science has seen changes in jaw sizes and nostril sizes. Our ancestors' diet included more whole grains, beef, and overall whole foods with less processed foods. And those whole foods required more chewing. in our ancestors, they did not display crooked teeth, narrow jawlines, small and flat teeth. Today, we have softer foods, things that go through a lot more processing, and even think about those healthy things that we don't have to work very hard to get the nutrients, like the smoothies that I make every day. So even healthy foods can be soft. This has changed our speech, our communication, and our breathing. Breathing is a classic example of use it or lose it. If we get into the habit of mouth breathing and not using our sinuses, our diaphragm, and expanding and contracting back that rib cage, we will lose this capacity. But, which sounds like a real downer, right, you guys? But the great news is that we also have the ability to change it. So let's go through quickly how breath works. I remember when I first became a PT and I would go to all these continuing education classes, and like for a day they would hammer breath work, and I'd be like, okay, when are we literally going to get to like the meat and potato, what I do on a patient, what the exercises are? But now I've really come after 13 years full circle back to breath. So let's just quickly go through a little anatomy review. So ideally, air comes in through our nose. Then we want to be using our diaphragm and the muscles in our rib cage for breathing. So those intercostal muscles. Chest breathers will actually pull air into the top ribs. So they do not fully use their diaphragm. So their pressure is really shallow. But what happens is this adds more pressure below. This can cause those common issues that I mentioned earlier in the podcast, such as prolapse, DR, hemorrhoids, any kind of hernias, which are included in males, right? And then incontinence. So we have this pressure system, and pressure can be great if we know how to control it. When we are breathing in properly, our pressure system does get messed up. So to control that pressure, we really want to have better breathing. So to overview, when we inhale, ideally air is coming in through the nose, our diaphragm lowers, that extends pressure into our abdominal wall, basically like internally massaging our internal organs and that GI system. It also expands all sides of the rib cage, not just the front, but the side, so the left and right side of your rib cage and the back. So it's a total 360 breath. It also lengthens or allows our pelvic floor to relax when we send our breath all the way down to our pelvic floor. So then as we exhale, breath is going to have to go back up. So our pelvic floor should lift upwards towards our head, almost like a mini Kegel activation. Our diaphragm rises, which pulls the ribs back inward and down. And again, this air should be pushed out through our nose, ideally. Mouth breathing really only should be used in high level athletics. They actually showed with like elite athletes that the most efficient athletes did most of their breathing through their nose, and only when it was like crazy exertions were they actually breathing through their mouth. So in summary, there's this gentle movement of pressure up and down that's so pivotal to this pressure system. But often we're not doing that full gamut of movements. So women chronically can get tension in their neck, back, shoulders, likely because they're not having that upwards and downwards pressure. So you've heard me say it that 90% of us are breathing incorrectly. And if you're happy to listen to this podcast episode, you're probably a mom or soon to be a mom, so you're most likely in that category. Honestly, during that pregnancy and postpartum period, clinically, what I can tell you is that most of the people that I see, so 100% of people, do have dysfunctional breathing patterns. So how do we like know for sure if we have dysfunctional breathing patterns? One tall tale sign is during pregnancy and postpartum, if our bra size has changed. So the bra circumference, if it's now too small or we're like on the very last clasp of our bra, our rib cage angle has likely expanded. So our ribs are kind of flared out, which means that we're not breathing well. This often can happen, again, from that baby rising up. But during pregnancy, we really want to focus on exhaling, inhaling all the way down to our pelvic floor, and then fully exhaling. And I do think a lot of women just assume, like, this is a normal part of childbearing, having children. Like, this is, my body just changed. But actually, we can change that bra circumference size again after having kids. So additionally, if we have anxiety, and what's interesting to me is in the research, anxiety, I feel like I used to never associate myself as an anxious person. Like, I was like, there's no way. I'm like the fun person. I'm not anxious. But actually too, I'm like a very high producer, and research shows like anxiety has many different forms. So it can be like high producers. It can be where you feel anxious or thinking a lot about things that may or may not happen. So it can be that traditional anxious look. But again, often people that have anxiety are stuck in these shallow breathing patterns. And again, those shallow breathing patterns make our body feel like it's in a state of stress, or that we need to respond to stress because we're in danger, which is simply our body just getting the wrong cues since we have the wrong type of breath. Also needing to get up at night for a drink of water. When we mouth breathe, we lose up to 40% of our water, which is leaving, like, obviously through the air, through our mouth, therefore leaving us thirsty at night and having to wake up to get a sip of water in the middle of the night. Additionally, getting up to urinate at night. Every time we post this on Instagram, we get a lot of comments back. So even if you're drinking a lot during the day, you still should not get up at night to urinate. The only time it's normal to get up at night to urinate is if you're 65 or older, or have diabetes, or you're in the third trimester of your pregnancy. Breathing, our pituitary gland releases vasopressin, which is a hormone that helps us from having to wake up at night to pee. And then migraines. And this is all because of the CO2 that's in our system. So that carbon dioxide, if we don't have efficient breathing, we're not getting rid of, which has been strongly correlated with migraines. Additional signs that you might not be breathing correctly are fatigue, irritability, a lack of quality sleep. And I know this is a hard audience to talk to about sleep, since I've been there, done that with waking up with kiddos at night. But two, once you put them back to bed, can you get back to bed? Are you able to sleep while they're sleeping? Snoring is also a big one. So if you've checked any of these or some of them, let's dive into the solutions. And again, most of us need help with correcting our breathing patterns, myself included. Last year, I really went back and focused on this. And I mean, I've seen massive benefits since. So what are the elements that we really need to have a successful breath? I've kind of alluded to some of these in the beginning, but what we need to do to restore our breathing takes 5 essential things. So the first is inhaling north to south. So meaning that we inhale through our nose, that inhalation should go all the way to our pelvic floor. And you're like, what the heck? What should this feel like? So you should feel a softening of the muscles in your pelvic floor. To check, I can take my hand and wrap it around my sits bone. So like those bones that you sit on, wrap my fingers around. So my fingers are facing back up towards like almost my pubic bone area. Then what I want to do is try to take a nice deep inhale through my nose. That breath goes down my spine into the bra line all the way to my pelvic floor. If you try that, are you able to feel those pelvic floor muscles soften or come into your fingertips? Both sides. Sometimes one side I find clinically is more sleepy than the other. Like somebody can get their breath all the way down on the left, but not the right. So really thinking about pulling that air in all the way down, relaxing our pelvic floor. Our pelvic floor often holds a lot of tension, or if you're a butt gripper, your pelvic floor can be on often, and we want it to be able to relax and turn off. So when we inhale in and all the way down, this is helping our body to relax that pelvic floor all the way down. It should be like a wave coming in and out of the ocean. That breath goes in, breath goes back out. So you should feel this nice rhythmical movement in your pelvic floor. We'll get to how to fix it if we don't, but let's just first go over all of the things that we want to see to have great breath work. Additionally, we want that 360 degree breath. The diaphragm is one of the biggest organs in our body. And when I think like organs, I'm like, wow, some of the biggest ones are the most imperative to our health. So this large muscle lives at the bottom of our rib cage. We want to use it to its full capacity. Ideally, when you are properly breathing, you're going to breathe into your back, your sides, and your front. Hence that 360 degree breath. So your rib cage will lift up like a bucket handle with a breath, and then it will come back down like you're putting the bucket handle back down with an exhalation. But again, during pregnancy, this gets messed up because that diaphragm gets flattened. We force air into our chest, or we're mainly breathing in the front of our rib cage. Literally loves to take the easiest route. So that means the area that has the least amount of tension, which when we're talking about a postpartum mom, our belly has been so stretched out from carrying baby that breath will likely go into the front and into our belly because there's the least amount of resistance there. So we really need to retrain working those stiff areas to get breath back into those areas, which again takes time, focus. Just so you know too, we have created a breathing freebie for you. If you really want to work on this, you can get that in our show notes. Honestly, too, the Expecting and Empowered strength training part of the app has all of this in the programming already covered. But even if you're already doing the app too and want to focus on this area a little bit more, definitely download that freebie.
And now a quick break. This podcast episode is brought to you by the Expecting and Empowered workout app. Someone in our DMs recently said, pregnancy can feel like a time when so much is out of your control. This app has given me the ability to feel powerful and in control of how I'm moving my body. I can't thank you enough for giving me that confidence. You can get 25% off your first month or year of the Expecting and Empowered app with the code PODCAST25. You deserve to prioritize yourself and your physical health. So whether you're pregnant, postpartum, or further out, the app has easy-to-follow programs to meet you exactly where you are in every stage of motherhood. All you have to do is show up, press play, and you know that you're getting an incredible workout in just 30 minutes. You can visit our show notes or go to app.expectingandempowered.com to sign up today. Don't forget to use the promo code PODCAST25. And now back to our show.
Okay, so in the app and in this freebie, one thing that you'll see is that we want to focus on breathing into our sides. So one thing that we can do is when we're brushing our teeth or in the shower, while you're standing and brushing or showering, bend your upper body to the right and breathe in to that rib cage on the left. Again, trying to pull that breath really into that rib cage area on the left and expand or lengthen the ribs. And then as we start to exhale, I'm going to stand up and fully exhale as I stand straight up. And again, we can do this on the other side. It really does feel so good to do it. Or another time you could do it is laying in bed. So you can place your hand, so you can lay on your side. Then place your hand on that top rib cage. So if I lay on my left, I'm going to put my hand on the right side of my rib cage. I'm looking for a clue that my hand is moving upwards and out as I breathe in. And then I'm going to fully exhale, back. So my rib cage comes down. So I should feel my hand rise and fall. And two, if this area is sleepy, I love using like a tapping technique where I'll actually like hit my rib cage with a flat hand to be like, hello, brain, you dummy, bring it into this area. So that's really bringing it into the sides of our rib cage, but also we want to bring it into this back bra line. This is probably one of the most common things that I work on with patients. Almost all postpartum moms I'm working on this with. Again, if you think about it, as we were pregnant, our back muscles got super tight trying to hold the weight in the front. So we really need to work on expanding the backside of our diaphragm, our rib cage. Again, this also has that amazing parasympathetic effect because this is the area where our parasympathetic nervous system is housed, like right above and below that bra line area. So it really can add a calming effect to your body. So in my PT clinic, often what I'll do, it can be really hard to teach people not to breathe in their belly. So I'll drape them over a yoga ball or a stability ball. You could even take like a basketball or a ball that one of your kids has laying around and you stick it in your belly. So on that yoga ball, you could be on all fours and quadruped. Or if you're sticking it in your belly, you can get more into like a child's pose position. So when we bend somebody forward, this really does force the breath into their back, into that bra line area. And then that ball is used for a cue, like don't let your belly put pressure on the ball. Because if we're putting pressure on the ball, that means we're breathing in through our belly and we're really focusing on breathing into that bra line. So again, air in through the nose, down the back into that bra line. You can either place a chair in front of you at home, bend over, rest your elbows to make it super simple. Once you have this down, I love to do it in the kitchen by my countertop. So the third component to having successful breathing is a full inhale and exhale. Often women master one of these, and most commonly it is inhale. Like women are mostly stuck in an inhalation pattern. I have seen some moms stuck in an exhalation pattern, but that is more rare. So again, we need both of these. It's honestly like chips and guacamole, peanut butter and jelly. They just don't jive on their own sometimes. We need both to really master this. And so research shows us that it should be a 5.5 second inhale and a 5.5 second exhale, which creates that nice ocean effect that I was talking about in the body, in and out, in and out. So again, if you are one of those moms that has a larger bra size, you are definitely probably stuck in that inhalation pattern. So we want to forcefully learn how to exhale. I always tell people in the clinic, though, from the bottom up. So we want to exhale from our pelvic floor up because the last thing we want to do is draw in the ribs but be putting pressure downwards. So we really want to learn how to exhale. So I'm going to think about exhaling from my pelvic floor, pushing air up, almost if it was like pushing up through a syringe or a tube. I'm fully emptying from the bottom. And then I'm going to think about drawing the ribs back in and down to the sides as I exhale. So the analogy that I use in the clinic is, you know, like the Golden Girls smoking when they exhale, they're just lightly exhaling or poofing out. I want you to think of like Snoop Dogg after the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, fully emptying those lungs. And as you're learning this, one thing that you could try to do is as you're exhaling, you should exhale. And when we know we're fully exhaling, you would actually exhale into your until you cough. So you would hear an audible cough as you're trying to fully empty. So that 5.5 inhale, 5.5 second exhale. When we're practicing exhalation, our exhalation can be way longer than that just to learn how to do things correctly. Okay, so the last two things is that we want to breathe through our nose versus our mouth. One of the main points by James Nestor, who wrote the book Breathe, that I loved and I'm obsessed with, I listened to it twice because there's so much information in it. If you're not obsessed with it, don't listen to it because it's like an 8-hour Audible book. But one of the biggest things that he talks about and found in research and history is that we're slowly not breathing through our noses, and we really want to learn how to breathe through our nose, and we do not want to breathe through our mouth. People that are mouth breathing obviously get oxygen through their mouth. When oxygen is not filtered, because through the nose it's filtered, it's humidified, that helps us sleep better. This actually drives up our cortisol. It puts us into a fight or flight pattern while we are sleeping. That means that we're not going into proper sleep cycles, which means that we're not getting restful sleep. For adults, this can feel like you wake up and you're not well rested, you feel groggy throughout the day, you're not focused, and you're highly irritable. It will actually collapse their sinuses, which you can retrain your sinuses to pop back open. It's that use it or lose it strategy. So breathing through our nose has so many benefits. It creates a calmer mind, deeper sleep. It humidifies that air. It acts as a filtration system for allergens, dust, pollen. Nose also helps with the function and look of our teeth. So people that breathe through their nose have less crooked teeth. Honestly, I am a reformed mouth breather myself. I used the mouth taping strips at night. We'll put a link with the freebie that you can get on Amazon. You know, some nights they would feel like super claustrophobic, and other nights it was easy to wear them. So again, this is just something that takes time. Once I got used to them, it was really easy. But at first, it does feel hard to breathe through your nose if you're so used to breathing through your mouth. And again, all the tips that we're going over in this podcast can really help, but I did find that the breathing tape was so useful as I was learning to breathe through my nose again. And additionally too, like once I fixed it, I sometimes will have to go back in and brush up on it. And that's just life. Like I think everybody wants to work on something. They quote unquote fixed it or got to the end result they want. But in wellness, there's a lot of going back to the basics here. So again, I am a more efficient breather than I once was. The tape helped tremendously to teach me not to do it at night. And we'll definitely link that in with that freebie in our show notes. Okay, the last thing is mobility and space and movement in our mid-back or our thoracic spine that helps create this thoracic pump. We have already touched a lot on bending and breathing. For our mid-backs, they can become very rigid or hard. Our intercostal muscles that allow those rib cages to flare open and close back down need to move, and they have to practice. So one way to do this is to even just think about this. So when we're sitting, standing, we want to think of the ribs as being slinky. So if you were to imagine a slinky, we want to think about starting to pull that slinky apart or create space here. Another way to imagine this is if you had a fish hook on each vertebrae in your back and you lift each vertebrae up one at a time. Or if they were sticky plates, so if you imagine your ribs being plates, and then after like a Christmas dinner, everything, all the food is in between, and you just have to lift each one of these little rib cage areas. These are helpful clues to getting more space back in our rib cage. So many of our dysfunctions are stemmed from our rib cage, like one-sided foot problems, one-sided hip problems, because our trunk weighs so much, it will overload one side sometimes if our ribs are not lifted and stacked. And I do think a lot of people have this issue. Exercises that will also help, and again, those are in the freebie, are side-lying thoracic rotation with circles. So laying on my side, reaching my arm around, or laying on my side, acting like a book, opening it up front side to side. Also, skin rolling is so helpful. In our core programming, you see this, but literally taking your skin, so like way above, but the rib love handles, right? So taking our skin by the ribs and just grabbing it and rolling that skin in between our thumb and our fingers can help to loosen up those adhesions to allow breath to come into those sticky areas. Chest stretch, so stretching out the pec, will also help as well. So the one that I love is you stand in a doorway and you're going to put your arm at like 60 degrees, 90 degrees, 120 degrees, but I'm going to rotate away from that arm that's stretching and opening up my chest or my pec. Because again, remember that 360 breath is huge. So we're not just thinking about the back, but we're also thinking about the front. Okay, you're probably like, Crystal, I'm like so freaking busy. How do we make this happen in our very fast-paced, extremely busy lives, right? So I wanted to just kind of go through those little steps of correcting our breath and adding visuals because we're breathing, right, during the day no matter what. So if we just think about or visualize this sometimes or have little tools, it can really help correct our breath really quickly. So step number one, we want to think about just visualizing that air coming all the way down, 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 instead of that breath staying so shallow. So visualize the air in through the nose, all the way down your spine, into your bra line, all the way down to your back, into your pelvis. There's also really helpful visualization breathing exercises where you can think about breathing in. And then like an infinity sign. So if I took a thread and a needle, think about like pulling the breath into my right hip, around the right hip, like that part of the infinity sign, around the left hip, like the infinity sign. Both sides pulling that breath into can be so helpful. And again, the brain will pick up on changing breath because the brain wants to do things as easy as possible or with ease, and it will make your body start feeling better. So your brain will be like, why were we not taking nice deep breaths before? Okay, so pulling breath into those restricted areas. Remember, breath is lazy. It takes a path of least resistance. So back body breathing. Remember, we want to bend over. Focus on pulling air into that bra line. If you're having a really hard time with that, I love to take that stability ball, a pillow, any kind of ball that your kid has and like shove it into your abdominal wall. So into your belly area, make sure that you're not breathing into there. So you should feel no pressure on the ball. And then we've gone through that side lying breathing, but really focusing on pulling air in to those sides. And then we want to make sure that we're fully inhaling and fully exhaling. Most of us get stuck in that inhalation pattern, but we want to try nice, full inhales with full exhales. So again, exhaling through the nose. Often I would practice this a lot when I'm exercising because I'm already exercising. So with exertion, I'm exhaling when I'm doing a different rep. And again, too, people get so focused on like, when do I inhale? When do I exhale? There's better ways, but the main thing is that you're inhaling and exhaling. I cannot tell you like how many times in the clinic I have to tell people to breathe at all because people will just hold their breath. So when you're exercising, like if I'm in an RDL, I'm inhaling down, exhaling up. And again, it doesn't have to be perfect, but just try to connect your breath with exercising since you're already doing that. And then again, to open up that nasal passage and that airway and breathe through our nose, not our mouth, and expand those sinuses, we can do that thoracic mobility that we talked about. So when people think about thoracic mobility, often they just think about the stretches. But what I've really found is that moms need strength to like keep great posture and great mobility in their thoracic spine. So when we think about that, we just don't want to think about stretches. It's a nice start because we need both, but we also want to be strengthening in that area. So reverse flies, rows, chops when you're on one knee are super helpful. also too, tongue releases. The tongue is a thick, thick, powerful muscle. But again, this area gets restrictions in. Our tongue has to be able to suction to the top of our palate when we're sleeping. This helps decrease that mouth breathing and helps increase your nose breathing. So in the clinic, we'll actually take people's tongues and we'll be like, stick out your tongue. So you can do this to yourself at home. Stick out your tongue. And then I will grab the tongue and I'll move it to the left. Hold, hold, hold. It feels like an uncomfortable stretch. Move it to the right. Hold, hold, hold. But the tongue mobility can have a huge impact on how we try to start breathing through our nose. Again, mouth taping is so good. And then mobility and strength of that thoracic spine. Again, too, one thing that I find here is that people's posture when they're working, so I'm on the computer all day today, it takes like 10 minutes to fix your desk setup, but a lot of people are sitting on a desk that's like not suited for their height. So a couple common tips are if I were to take a line from my eyeballs and then that line goes straight to my computer, there should be 4 inches of the computer still up. If I have dual monitors, which one am I using more? Am I using the one in front of me or to the side? If they're both kind of centered, but I'm only primarily using one, this can create lots of thoracic neck tension. So making sure that we're doing our due diligence about our desk setup can make a huge difference. Also, again, how I really use this when I retrain and I continue to do it, it's something that I think about like probably way too often and constantly. But again, when I am stressed, so when my kids are freaking out, I like the sound of crying sometimes. I feel like my nervous system like is very audibly triggered. So like that sound of crying, whining overwhelms me very easily. Which, you guys, it happens on the daily for all of us, right? So before I respond to them, and I'm not perfect in this when I say this, but before I respond to them, I really try breathing and pulling my breath in because that creates a pause before I react. And what we know from research is our nervous systems as human beings sync up. So think about like when somebody walks into your office or to your house and they're like full of energy. It's so contagious. Or if somebody walks in and they're like naggy and complainy, that energy is contagious. Same thing with our nervous system and breath. We as humans can sync our breath. So I do teach my kids to like breathe when they're upset. And sometimes they're like, I don't want to breathe. It is really hard when you're elevated to try to pull in that breath. So if we start calming ourselves down, it helps regulate our child's nervous system without them having to do it sometimes. I do this in between tasks all the time in the clinic. I will bend over in between each patient and I will like in that surrender pose and I'll breathe into my back because I know that I'm like on a schedule that I go to the next patient, to the next patient. So if I don't make it a habit of kind of bending over, breathing, you could also do this when you're putting each kiddo to bed. So in between each kiddo, take a breath or two, switch to the next kiddo. When you're working from home, if you're switching tasks, maybe trying to do it in between tasks. Again, other areas of time that I love to add breathwork into is exercise, like I said, in the kitchen, if you're cooking, before bed, because everything's just like calming. I do the weirdest stuff in the grocery store line. Breathing is one of those things where if I don't have the patience to stand in line and just be, I will focus on working on my breath in that time. And before you know it, honestly, you'll be breathing optimally. And it, like I said, the brain will pick up on it. Things will be automatic. Okay, so this is a long episode. Thank you guys so much for bearing with me. I just think there's like so much that we're not taught. So at Expecting and Empowered, we literally love teaching you guys this so that you feel better, live better. And we love dropping those knowledge bombs. You will see breathing in the Expecting and Empowered app in the pregnancy and the early postpartum program. So we've built this in. So all you have to do is show up, hit play in those resistance training programs, and you'll see some of this built in. But listen, it takes time, practice, and work, but I'm telling you, the benefits are amazing. So again, in the show notes, if you want that breathing freebie, just go down and download that breathing freebie. It will include the exercises that we talked about, really simplified, so you can print it out, have it by your bed, and just get breathing better. Thanks so much for listening today. If you love this or have an anxious friend or somebody whose bra line is too tight, if you wouldn't mind sharing this podcast with somebody, and if you loved what you learned, make sure you hit the subscribe button, and we will talk soon.